So we welcome all the devotees and participants for our this month's Parivartan program. And we have a very interesting topic. Many devotees were requesting me to take up this topic since a long time, the power of prayers. This is something which whether one is a theist or whether one is an atheist, whether one belongs to a certain religion, it is something which is very commonly observed that everyone has an inherent tendency to offer prayers. And one does it, in its own way, you know, whether one is a small little child or whether one is a grown up person, whether one is an old man, everyone, they have their own way to offer some prayer unto their lords. I remember in our childhood, one of our teachers told us a story of a Christian family. In fact, in that tradition, they have a lot of emphasis on prayers. So this Christian family regularly going to the church, and over there, you know, the church is designed in such a way that you silently, they have those pews, you sit over there, you kneel down actually. You kneel down and you offer your prayers unto Jesus or the Father. So this family would regularly visit the church, and in the family there was a small little kid who would also accompany the parents. So one time the kid asked the mother that, "What do you do out here? Every Sunday I come along with both of you, mother and father, and I see you, you know, silently, fervently doing something in front of this cross." So now the mother tried to explain to this little son of hers in her own way that, you know, that she was offering prayer. So she said to the child that, you know, when we come in front of the Lord, in front of the altar of the Lord, we offer our prayers. "What is a prayer?" the son asked. So the mother said, "Prayer is something which you just reveal your heart to the Lord. Whatever is there in your heart, you just speak it out." So now this child understood in his own way the definition of prayer. And the next time the child came alone and in front of the cross, in front of Jesus, the child folded the hands, kneeled down and started to pray according to whatever he had learned from his mother. And then 1 hour passed, 2 hours passed, and he was just going on and on and on. The father of the church was very much impressed. Little kid, you know, like sometimes we see little kids, what happens to them when they come to temple. But this little kid, he was like appearing to be so spiritual, you know, so emotional. So another time the kid came, and the kid hours and hours folded his hands and was praying. And he was also mumbling something. So now the father became more curious. So that day he stopped the child and he asked the child that, "Is everything okay?" Like generally you find when exams are coming, you know, children, they go to temples or churches, or when exams are over and the results are about to come, that is also a time when they come. Hari Baba. So the father asked that, you know, what are you praying? So the child, he said, no, I'm not praying for anything. I'm just, whatever my mother told, I'm just, you know, speaking to God, holding my hands. So the father was curious, what were you saying? You know, I saw your lips moving. What were you saying? So the kid told that, I was just reciting ABCD. And the father, what? Say that again. What were you reciting? ABCDEFGH till Z. So now, you know, the father, he just chuckled, he laughed at that. Small kid, you know, doesn't know that what is the significance of coming in front of the altar of the Lord and praying and, you know, reciting some scriptures in offering prayers. So, then the father, that particular night, he went to take rest. And Jesus Christ appeared in his dream and told the priest, you think that you are anyone greater than that little kid who was coming regularly to the church? You were looking down upon that kid, almost mocking that kid, ridiculing that, what is this, he's just reciting ABCD. And look at you. When you offer your prayers in front of the altar to me, what are your prayers? They are nothing but combination of these 26 alphabets. Is it not? Your prayers are nothing but the combination of A, B, C, D. In fact, yours is less than him in quantity. Because when you offer your prayers, it's not for sure that you are using all the 26 alphabets. But he's. And on top of that, he has a pure heart. So qualitatively and quantitatively, that kid was offering the best prayers unto me until this date. So you go and learn from that kid how to offer prayers both quantitatively and qualitatively. So therefore, when we, you know, talk about prayers, maybe I have to pray a lot for this to go on. Okay, we have some interesting quotes to begin with. What are prayers actually? Over here, what do we see? Expressions of the content of one's heart. It is not simply a show which we have to put up. Not in front of the Lord many times, but in front of others who are watching us. They are actually expressions of the content of our heart. Which means, prayers are, it's just a tool with which we just come in front of the Lord and just open up our heart that this is what I am, my dear Lord. This is my condition. You are the one, like many people, you know, they say, God is great. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he was saying, Hindi lectures, he was saying, to hum jab Bhagwan ke paas aate hain, to hum kehte hain, Bhagwan aap mahaan hain, aur main lahaan hoon. He didn't say that, but he said, hum tuch hain. Aap mahaan hain, aur hum tuch hain. So, when we talk about the content of the heart, so now, we have to look into the content of the heart. That what is the content of our heart? What are we actually praying for? Many times we don't even know. People, they go to a temple, they ring that bell, they fold their hands. Many times they don't even look at the altar. Who is there? Which Lord is there on the altar? And you know, they do all these different things, holding their ears up and down, going around. Like, you know, at our ISKCON temple in Bombay, over there, you know, we used to many times witness many such kind of strange cases of people coming in their unique styles in front of the Lord. Many times, you know, they would enter and, you know, you must have seen over here, they would just kiss the floor, you know, like this. And then in front of the Lord also, give a flying kiss to the Lord also. You know, directly into Madhurya Ras. Like, you know, this incident took place at our Bombay temple there. You know, we have different timings for the aarti. Like, we have the Mangala aarti at 5, then we have another aarti at 10 o'clock, then Rajbhog aarti at 12:30 in noon, then evening 4:30 there is another Vaikalika aarti. Like, so over there, the evening aarti, the 4:30, it's like, you know, just afternoon still. So the 4:30 aarti, this was like, I'm talking about 8-10 years ago. So not many visitors would come at that time. So it was a fair big enough room like this, you know, the temple hall over there, a little bigger than this. And we had, still have, you know, a Vyasasan, a huge Vyasasan. And there were two of our devotees who were in the afternoon, you know, doing their japa, and they were behind the Vyasasan. So there was no one in the temple room, and it so happened that a young couple walked in. And they didn't notice that these devotees were just behind the Vyasasan doing their japa. So this young couple walked in, and, you know, like, they just walked right straight close to the altar. And they stood close to the altar. And folding their hands, you know, fervently, praying something very intensely. So these devotees, you know, they were observing that. What is this intensity? And then to their shock, what they saw was that they had plastic bags, you know. So they opened, the boy, he opened the plastic bag, and he had a huge thick garland. He gave one to the girl. Now you must have guessed what's about to come now. He gave one to the girl and he took one. And you know, they're like in front of the altar, just looking here and there, nobody's watching them. So he's just taking the garland like this, putting around the girl's neck. And the girl also, you know, she's trying to reach out and put the garland, took some, that red thing, and put it there, and then praying again for 2 minutes. Again, they removed the garland, put it back in the plastic bag. And looking here and there, you know, that safe landing. So now, our devotees, you know, they were like, they were just laughing at this. And it so happened that they were standing there for a long time to make sure that, you know, everything is smooth. So nobody, they thought nobody saw them. Then they were about to leave. And just, you know, like, we had the door over there. So at the doorstep, we had one of the devotees who was giving some prasad, you know, like a laddu. So now they were about to have the prasad. So this devotee, as he was about to give the prasad, he said, Shadi Mubarak ho. And you know, that was the shock of his life. You know, he just ran away from there. So yes, many times people might come in front of the altar, in front of the Lord, with many different motivations and intentions. At least they are coming in front of the Lord for whatever reason. Like Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, one time he was traveling in a train from Vishakhapatnam to Nellore. And in the train, you know, generally a sannyasi, you know, age-old sannyasi also. So some of the passengers, typical, some of these Indian, into all kind of ritualistic things, you know, always wanting ashirvad, ashirvad, like that kind of thing. So they came to Srila Prabhupada and they were asking for some ashirvad, some blessings. And they were like this, you know, praying, Swamiji, kuch ashirvad. So Srila Prabhupada looked at them and Srila Prabhupada gave a shock of their life. Srila Prabhupada asked them, what benediction, what blessing do you want? So now, well, it's open. So they were all the more enlivened and enthusiastic. So one of them said, Swamiji, you know, I have this arthritis problem. Now imagine, you know, a pure devotee who is distributing pure devotional service and this man is asking for arthritis problem. And Prabhupada just looked at him that, is that what you want? Arthritis. So he realized, no, and there were all the other, you know, brahmacharis and sannyasis of Prabhupada's disciples, they were sitting. So they were also looking at him and he realized that he messed up. You know, he must have not asked something like that. So then he said, no, my grandmother, you know, she has arthritis. So again, you know, what is this? You know, you are just trying to, am I a doctor over here? So then there was another one and he realized that, come on, you know, you are messing up. You just shut up now. I'll ask. So he asked that, Swamiji, we want, you know, Vishwa Shanti, world peace. So then Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, my benediction, my blessing to anyone is that when I bless anyone, that person becomes like these people, you know, sitting in front of me. And they're like, orange clad saffron sannyasi and everyone Hare Krishna, they told to. And then, you know, Swamiji, then we will see you again. They left. And then Prabhupada, he told to his disciples that they were looking for an Ashirvad Baba, that someone who just gives them Ashirvad for whatever they are looking for. So prayer over here should be something which should also touch the heart of the Lord. It should be from the heart, reaching the heart of the Lord. Another quote, meditation is when you listen to God, prayer is when you talk to God. It is something which, it's not that God is looking for this, it's not that He's hungry for our prayers, but it is an expression of an acknowledgement of whatever we are receiving, the merciful benefits from the Supreme Lord. Then, prayer should not be the spare wheel of the vehicle of our life. Rather, it should be the steering wheel. Many times, whenever there is any catastrophe or calamity, if it has come or it is about to come, or you come to know through some astrologer, then, you know, some prayers or whatever, atonements and prashchit and all that stuff begins. So over here, it's very interestingly mentioned that it should not be like a spare wheel, what do you call that, stepney, but it should be the steering wheel. It should be something which should be happening day in and day out, every day in one's life. Like when I was in school, one of our teachers, she was a Christian. So she had asked to all of us that, students, do you all pray before you honor your food? Like, you know, they have this tradition, the whole family sits together and before they honor their food, they pray. So she asked, do you all pray before you honor your food? And one student, you know, he said, madam, I don't have to pray because my mother is a good cook. So he was thinking that you have to pray to God because you don't know what will be the taste, whether you will survive through that. So many times, you know, when food comes in front of you, when the source is unknown, definitely you have to pray. So over here, that kind of prayer is not what is talked about. Again, we are talking about prayers which are stemming from the heart and reaching the heart of the Lord. Therefore, it is said that if the prayer is just through the lips, then it simply reaches the ears of the Lord. Because lips, they have connection to the ears. So if it is simply lip service, as they say, then it simply reaches the ears of the Lord. If the prayer is just out of, you know, some mental speculation, then it reaches the mind of the Lord. If the prayers are just intellectual prayers, then it reaches the intelligence of the Lord. But if the prayers are from the heart, then it reaches the heart of the Lord. And that is where, you know, a practitioner, a spiritualist has to reach the heart of the Lord. This is another interesting quote. 7 days might make one weak, but 7 days without prayers makes one weak. So, it is not something which one has to do when any calamity strikes, when any a catastrophe strikes in that person's life. But it is like an everyday meal which we have to subsist upon. Now, beginning with, we'll be discussing about these four types of prayers. Prayer of forgiveness, prayers of gratitude, prayers of glorification, of course glorification of the Lord is to be understood, prayers of benediction. Now, generally we find that people, they just go for the last one, prayers for benediction, Ashirvad Baba, something, just keep giving me, you know, this dehi, that dehi, something, just keep getting, you know, long list. And the list keeps on getting revised and upgraded every festival, you know, every year. But you see, recently we celebrated Narsimha Chaturdashi, the appearance of Lord Narsimhadev, who appeared for the little Prahlad, 5-year-old Prahlad, who was the son of this, one of the greatest terrorists of his time, Hiranyakashipu. And if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, after Narsimhadev has delivered Prahlad Maharaj's father, Hiranyakashipu, of course through killing, Prahlad Maharaj is offering such deep prayers unto the Supreme Lord. And now, just imagine Narsimhadev, one of the most ferocious of all incarnations of the Supreme Lord. He is the personification of anger on Hiranyakashipu, who was troubling his dear devotee Prahlad. So Lord Narsimhadev rips open and delivers Hiranyakashipu. And here is Prahlad, after looking into the anger of Narsimhadev, he's been pushed forward by all 33 crore demigods, including Lakshmi Devi, that you are the one who can pacify the Lord. And it is Prahlad and his prayers which pacified the anger of Narsimhadev. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he is going through this sequence. Since we have just celebrated Narsimha Chaturdashi, so it is very much relevant that we follow in the footsteps of such a Mahajan like Prahlad Maharaj, how he offered his prayers unto Narsimhadev. So he is offering his prayers unto Narsimhadev in this sequence. He is begging forgiveness. He is expressing his gratitude. He is glorifying Lord Narsimhadev. And then at the end, He is asking for a benediction, but it is very important to know what kind of benediction a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj will ask from the Supreme Lord. There is nothing wrong in asking benediction, but we have to learn from such a devotee like Prahlad that what kind of blessings and benedictions we should be asking from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, prayers of forgiveness. Another wonderful quote. Man gets and still forgets. Whereas God gives and still forgives. So, when we are talking about Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, beginning with this mood of humility. Prahlad Maharaj, now, just imagine the situation that Prahlad Maharaj has been the one who's appointed by the 33 crore demigods to go and offer prayers. He's 5-year-old. And who are these demigods? Indra, Chandra, Varun, Lord Brahma himself. And, of course, Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Narasimha Dev, even she is not willing to step ahead and do something to pacify the anger of Narasimha Dev. So Prahlad, the beginning of his prayers, he says that, my dear Lord, I am very much sorry. He's begging forgiveness. I am very much sorry that because of my father and his atrocities, you had to take a special form like this. You had to leave your spiritual world and you had to come and you had to go into that pillar which was struck by my father. And I am born in that same clan, in that same dynasty, Ugra Jati. Prahlad Maharaj is calling himself Ugra Jati. That I am born in this Dur Jati, in this Ugra Jati. So I am begging forgiveness, my dear Lord, for all this trouble which you had to undertake for my sake and for my father. Now, although Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I was born in this Ugra Jati, but Narasimha Dev, what is his point of view? Narasimha Dev, the Lord, is telling to Prahlad that you ask for something. Some benediction. I want to give you. Forget about all this, you know, your humility and all. You already conquered my heart. I want to give you some blessings. So Prahlad Maharaj is asking. We are quoting the blessings which Prahlad Maharaj asked over here, because when Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I am born in Ugra Jati, so there is a connection to that. Prahlad Maharaj is asking that, my dear Lord, even if you want to bless me, you just give all your blessings to my father Hiranyakashipu, who was never your devotee, who was always anti-Vishnu, anti-Krishna. So you give all your blessings and benedictions unto him. And you know, Narasimha Dev, that famous statement, he says that, you even have to ask for that? To tell you, Prahlad, what to speak of your father Hiranyakashipu, 21 generations behind Hiranyakashipu, 21 generations ahead of you, both up and down, left and right, they all have been delivered. Now, this is called, you know, the power of a pure devotee born in a family. Although yes, it was true that Prahlad Maharaj was born in that Daitya family. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Daityanam Prahladasmi. Lord Krishna is also saying that amongst the Daitya, who is a Daitya? Who is opposite of a Deva, Devata. So here he is born in a Daitya family, but because of he being such a pure soul, 21 generations, and some of our Vaishnava Acharyas, they are commenting on this and they are saying that we have heard so many times that 21 generations, you know, past and 21 generations to come are delivered when a pure devotee is born in that family. Now herein, there is an addition which the Vaishnava Acharyas, they are saying that when Narasimha Dev told to Prahlad Maharaj that 21 generations, past and future, have been delivered. It was not just the 21 generations of that life. It was 21 generations of 21 past lives and 21 generations of 21 future lives. This is called network marketing. In the pure sense. So much, you know, people are so much worried about their ancestors and pitras and so many shraddhas and pindas and things are tarpans are given. Here is the secret, Prahlad Maharaj. Forget about 1, 2, 3, 21. And that too, not just in this life, but 21 lifetimes past and 21 lifetimes in the future. So herein, Prahlad Maharaj, although he was the chosen one, but Prahlad Maharaj is expressing his forgiveness first unto the Supreme Lord. So when we come in front of the Lord, yes, we should not think that just because I have come in front of you, I am perfect. So just, I am here, recognize me now. You know, so let's start, let's talk business. No, not like that. We have to first come in the mood of begging forgiveness. Then when we talk about gratitude, another nice quote, gratitude shows one's attitude towards God's magnitude. So, when we talk about gratitude, it's very interesting that forget about this quality being inculcated. People hardly use that word in their vocabulary nowadays. Gratitude? Which language? What is the meaning of gratitude? Like, you know, these are the words when you come to a temple like this, you get to hear humility. Often I remember, you know, this incident when I was in Bombay and I was giving a lecture to some school students, you know, 10th standard. South Bombay school, you know, like a very prestigious school, and I was giving a lecture on humility, the quality of humility. And there were some backbenchers having their nice time. So then I asked one of them that, so what are we discussing today in the class? Now he was just taken aback, caught on the wrong foot. So he got up and, sir, we were discussing about humidity. Now the surprising thing was that nobody laughed in the class. So that was like a greatest insult to me. And then, you know, the other mischief monger, you know, I asked him also to get up and ask, so what were we discussing today? So he realized that, you know, my friend has messed up. So I should, you know, give a different whatever, different from him, something different from him. So he said, sir, we were discussing humanity. So from humidity to humanity, these words are like humility, gratitude, these words have become so obsolete, you know, obsolete. You know, hardly people are using these words. Forget about the qualities, having those qualities in one's life. So herein, Prahlad Maharaj, he is, you know, like, presenting himself in such a humble fashion. Now, you see, when we talk about humility, it's a very refined quality. It's such a refined quality that, of course, when we read about personalities like Prahlad, they are so refined in their approach towards the Lord, in regards to gratitude, in regards to humility. Now, what do we find sometimes when people, they appear to be a little spiritual? Let's look into some of the practitioners of some little so-called spirituality, and what is their humility or gratitude in their approach towards their whatever worshipable deity. Like, you know, many years ago, I remember during the Ganesh Chaturthi, you know, this famous song would be always played, that Deva ho Deva tumse badkar kaun. That was enough. Aur tumhare bhakt jano mein humse badkar kaun. So forget about you, focus upon me, let the camera come on me. Tumse badkar to kaun, to sab jante hain, lekin tumhare bhakt jano mein humse badkar kaun. Or definitely we are over here, Prahlad Maharaj is not coming in that mood in front of the Lord. And like in Bombay, you know, they have this Lal Bagh Ka Raja. You heard about Lal Bagh Ka Raja? So then last year, you know, in Borivali, they came up with another Borivali Ka Maharaja. So there was a competition, and then Dahisar Ka Badshah. So Lal Bagh Ka Raja, Borivali Ka Maharaja, Dahisar Ka Badshah. And then it happened last year that for the Visarjan, so there was a riot between these two groups, between the Raja and the Maharaja. Not the lords, but you know, those who are trying to be their devotees, that who will go first for Visarjan? You know, Amara Pehla Jayega. Amara Raja, Amara Maharaja. So like that, there was a riot and, you know, bloodshed. So, you know, just like, you know, from that level, we are talking about Prahlad Maharaj, who is calling himself that I am from Ugra Jati. I am begging forgiveness, my dear Lord. The Lord has appeared specifically to protect Prahlad. And here he is the chosen one by all the 33 crore demigods, and he is expressing his gratitude unto the Supreme Lord. So, when we are offering prayers unto the Supreme Lord, following the footsteps of pure souls like Prahlad Maharaj, it should be in the mood of gratitude, in the mood of humility. There was a nice quote which I read in one of the books by one follower of Srila Prabhupada about humility. He said, humility is not to think less of oneself. You know, that, okay, I'm the most degraded. Sometimes, you know, we get into this, in ISKCON, it's called the pure devotee syndrome. You know, that we artificially try to pose ourselves as being very humble, that, you know, I am the most degraded, fallen. You won't believe, there was one letter which I had received, and you know, he had recently started to encounter the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So he was in this, trying to be in this pure devotee syndrome, you know, that most fallen, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was a little ashamed to read that, you know, like devotees, when they write letters, you must have read, they say, your servant, you know, your servant. So I remember one of our students from Bombay, he wrote to his parents, after becoming a devotee, he wrote to his parents, your servant. And the parents, you know, they are right. What are you calling? Why you are calling yourself servant? So next letter he wrote, servant of your servant. So you know that word servant, and you know, I am fallen servant then. To add on to more, you know, I am a fallen servant, the most fallen servant. So now this person, he wrote this letter, you won't believe. And I was like, when I read that, I said, what is he writing? So he wrote the long letter, and then at the end he said, aspiring to be the worm in your stool. I said, wait a minute. This is too much. So I wrote back, by the way, my stomach is okay, I'm not so unhealthy. Doctors haven't diagnosed any worms. So, you know, sometimes this mood of pure devotee syndrome kind of thing, you know. So, there should not be this extreme also. So, the quote which I was mentioning, humility is not to think less of oneself, that, you know, I'm so lowly and like that. Humility is to actually think about oneself less. Not that I am so fallen, I, always, you know, that I am this, I am that, I am that. This is, the focus is again on you. So this is called frustrated false ego. It's not humility. This is frustrated false ego. Or, you know, inferiority complex in the common terms. But when Prahlad Maharaj is expressing his gratitude, over here, this is what exactly humility or gratitude is. To show one's attitude towards God's magnitude. His own is Radhanath Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he was talking about humility. He talks a lot about humility. And he said, what is humility? Humility is that when you actually have that quality of humility, you will find that how far away you are from actual humility. A real humble devotee is that, he said, that he finds himself so far away from real humility. And then he said that a humble devotee comes in front of the Lord with the mood of gratitude, and he folds his hand and he says to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, I was nothing, I am nothing, I will be nothing, and you are everything. So that is how one has to begin with, in this mood of gratitude, in this mood of humility. And when we talk about the magnitude of the Lord, the next step is glorification. So herein, glorification of God is to pay a compliment without expecting a receipt in return. You know, we are so much used to getting receipts for whatever we give, you know. Receipt, ki the receipt, bill, receipt, chalan, sab, everything, you know. So with, in front of the Lord also, that, okay, I am, you know, offering these prayers and, you know, I have recited and I have memorized, mugged up these prayers. So you better, pehle se receipt phad ke rakho. So glorification of God is to pay a sincere compliment without expecting a receipt in return. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj, he's not just talking about, you know, I am so condemned, I am this. Prahlad Maharaj is then glorifying Lord Narasimhadev, that how, my dear Lord, you are such a merciful personality, you are so magnanimous, you are all pervading, and so many qualities of the Lord he is glorifying. So glorification of the Lord, it is also meant for our purification. You see? So when we glorify, that glorification gives that purification of the heart. And that is something which is very much you will find in practically every religion. That the Supreme Lord is recognized by the devotees. You know, sometimes, like when people read the Bhagavad Gita, they sometimes find that why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself is glorifying himself. Like one of our senior brahmacharis from Bombay, he was once telling to me, he was you know, traveling, and there was a man who was discussing about Bhagavad Gita with him. So he said, you know, I have a doubt about this Bhagavad Gita of yours. So the devotee said, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna, he spoke. Ah, yeah, same, you practice that, na? So he said, why in your Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is always just, you know, blowing his own trumpet, like that, you know. What do you mean? Aham, 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 always, you know, that sarva dharman parityajya, maam ekam sharanam aham. And then, what is that verse? Man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru. 6 times, you know, he is saying. Maam, maam, aham, aham, aham. And, you know, some demons poor like Hiranyakashipu, one time he said something like that and he was totally finished, you know, brutally killed. So, is it not that your Krishna, you know, he is also falsely proud, looks like. So, this devotee, he very wonderfully replied to this man. He said, that imagine there is a beggar on the street and a billionaire. He looks at that beggar, he goes to that beggar and he tells to that beggar that, you know, that you don't have to beg anymore. Ye bhik mangna band karo, main sambhal lunga, mere paas aao. So the beggar would want to know, aap kaun hai pehle, aap batao. So then the billionaire starts to talk about himself that, you know, I own 10 companies, you know, multinational companies. I have a big mansion, you know, say at Malabar Hill. I have so many other mansions all over in the city. So it appears he's bragging about himself. But in his bragging about himself, he is giving confidence to the beggar that main sambhal lunga. You come to me. So when Krishna talks about himself that I am the source of everything, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate, he is bragging about himself. Yes, why? So that we get confidence in Krishna that yes, he is the one who can protect me. I have to take shelter of this person wholesale. It is for the benefit of the beggar that the billionaire is talking about his opulence. Now what is false ego? False ego is that beggar, he is sitting on the railway bridge along with another beggar. And the other beggar tells, aaja main sambhal lunga. This is false ego. Are bheek mat maang, mere paas aaja main sambhal lunga. So we in this material world, we are all like beggars trying, and we beggars telling each other, you know, main sambhal lunga. Like one beggar telling to another beggar, teri beti ki shaadi main kara dunga. So when Krishna is talking about himself, another lecture, Radhanath Swami, he was speaking about the same point that when Krishna is talking about himself in the Gita or say in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see, it is like the root of a tree asking for water. Now, when the root of the tree is asking for water, is it that the root of the tree is selfish? Somebody comes with a bucket of water and the root of the tree says, don't water anyone else. Don't water the leaves, don't water the flowers, don't water the fruits, just water me. So when Krishna says surrender unto me, it is like the root of the tree asking for water. For whom? The root knows that when the water is poured to me, that water will reach to all the leaves, fruits and flowers. So similarly, when Krishna is satisfied, who is the root? Yatha taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujho pashakha. This beautiful verse is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna is the root of this entire this universal tree. And when he is satisfied, so then all the leaves, branches, fruits, flowers, they are all satisfied. So therefore, this is a very, very important component of one's prayer, that we glorify the different qualities, name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Lord has so many qualities. In this material world, people are so much glorifying the mundane personalities. You know, the mortal beings of this material world are so much glorified. But what qualities do they have, and for how long will they be having? And the Supreme Lord, who is perfect in all the qualities at all times, why not? He should be recognized for possessing at least those qualities. And yes, he is rubbing off those qualities on someone who comes in contact with that Supreme Lord also. So then, after sufficiently glorifying, then comes the benediction. Asking for some mundane benediction, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, is like trying to decorate one's own reflection in a mirror. Now, it's a very, very interesting example Prahlad Maharaj is using. That imagine you are in front of the mirror. So what does a mirror do? It shows yourself. So you are seeing the reflection. Now imagine if somebody asks you, how would you decorate the reflection which is in the mirror? How would you do that? By decorating oneself. So, by glorifying Krishna, by decorating the Supreme Lord, we are actually, we who are the reflection, we who are the reflection, we are simultaneously getting decorated. Now, what artificially the human being today is doing, rather than decorating the person, is trying to decorate the reflection. Now, just see how crazy it is. Imagine, you know, someone in front of the mirror, you know, some lady is putting the bindi in the mirror, you know, and earring and nose ring in the mirror. How does it look? First of all, how will it be, you know, stuck over there? But somehow or the other, using some adhesive or some glue, you know, on the mirror. So that person has to stand there, you know, moves. This happens. So if the person moves, then what do you find? You know, simply bindi and earrings hanging. From where? Because the person has moved. It looks very ghostly then. You know, only earrings hanging, nose ring hanging, bindi hanging. So herein, asking for a mundane, materialistic benediction from the Supreme Lord is something which is like that. It is a futile attempt to decorate the reflection in the mirror. Like, there was one family and they were, you know, very much expressing their prayers unto the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord sent one of his trusted associates, Narad Muni. So Narad Muni comes now. So this family now, Narad Muni has come, and they know that Narad Muni has been sent by Narayan, and our prayers are getting answered now. So the father of the house, he said, I am the breadwinner of the house, so I am the one who is supposed to ask for the first benediction. So the father of the house, he asked to Narad Muni that, I want heaven, you know, I want to reside in heaven, and all the pleasures, the somras and the apsaras and all that stuff, you know, heavenly stuff. So I want to go to heaven. Narad Muni asked, when do you want to go? Right now. I'm fed up with my job. I'm fed up with the traffic. I'm fed up with my neighbor. Fed up with He didn't mention. Families were close by. I just want to go to heaven. Tathastu. Immediately transferred to Swargaloka. Then next came the wife. She said, me, I am the chaste wife of my husband. So how can I live without my husband? I have to be following the footsteps of my husband. So you also want? Yeah, I also want. So she was also transferred. Then the little son, you know, he came. Narad Muni asked, so beta, what do you want? I want my mummy papa back. I can't live without them. Mummy papa back. Mummy papa back. Finished. Okay, Swargvas. So, asking for mundane benediction leads to something like that. But herein, when we talk about Prahlad Maharaj, when Prahlad Maharaj is asking for a benediction, what is the benediction Prahlad Maharaj is asking for? Very interesting. Prahlad Maharaj is telling to Lord Narasimhadev, who is in his fierce form. Prahlad Maharaj is telling to Narasimhadev that your ferocious face with your sharp teeth and your mane, you know, Lord Narasimhadev, his face was that of a lion. So the mane of the lion. So all of this, my dear Lord, is not putting me in fear at all. I am not at all afraid of your ferocious form. Wherein even personalities like Brahmaji and others, they were shivering and trembling. And here was little 5-year-old Prahlad. He is telling to Narasimhadev, I am not at all afraid of your ferocious form, your, you know, rumbling voice and the way you just killed my father. I am not at all afraid of that. But yes, my dear Lord, in this entire creation, I am only afraid of one thing, for which I want to ask a sincere benediction unto you. Now everyone was like, what is Prahlad afraid of? If he is not afraid of Narasimhadev, here is Narasimhadev who is fearful to fear personified. And here is Prahlad Maharaj not afraid of Narasimhadev, but he is fearful of something. Prahlad then, folding his hands, he is telling to Narasimhadev, my dear Lord, I am only fearful of one thing in this entire creation, and that is my own material desires. I am afraid of my own material desires. So please, my dear Lord, protect me from my own material desires. This is called a pure prayer, a pure benediction to ask for. There was one devotee. This is mentioned in one of the Puranas. There was one devotee who prayed to Lord Narasimhadev that, my dear Lord, destroy, kill all of my material conditionings. And at that point of time, from the deity of Narasimhadev, all the weapons of Narasimhadev came and they were heading towards his heart. Because all the conditionings were... In fact, he had prayed, please destroy all my real enemies. That is what he had asked for. So the weapons, they came out of the deity and they were approaching towards his heart. And he was like, I said, destroy my enemies. And the Lord said, yes, your real enemies are residing in your own heart. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. These are your real enemies which are residing in your very heart. So this is what is Prahlad Maharaj's benediction. That, my dear Lord, please protect me from my own materialistic desires. And please always keep me in the association of your dear devotees. This is another benediction which he is asking for. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this particular prayer, he mentions that Prahlad Maharaj was fearless, just like the cub of a lioness is fearless in front of its mother. The lioness is so much feared by all the animals in the jungle. But for the cub, the cub is just playing all around the mother lioness. So similarly, Narsimhadev is that lioness and Prahlad is the cub who is fearlessly playing around the Lord. But he is fearful of one thing, and that is his own material desires. So prayers of benediction should be that we come in front of the Lord. Yes, we offer, we beg forgiveness, we offer our gratitude, we glorify the Lord, and ultimately we ask for this benediction that, my dear Lord, please give me a pure existence. Now this is not selfish. It is very nicely said that a devotee, a pure devotee like Prahlad, he is not afraid of death. But he is afraid of forgetting Krishna at the time of death. This is what a devotee is afraid of. He is not afraid of death, he is not afraid of any calamity. In fact, Kunti Maharani, she is praying, Vipada Santu Tas Sashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. She is praying to Krishna that give me calamity. Because in my case, she is saying that whenever there is calamity in my life, my dear Krishna, I get your darshan. Apunar bhava darshanam, and I don't have to take darshan of anyone else. Like, you know, there was a boy and he met with an accident and he was admitted to the hospital. And he was in the hospital and, you know, the nurse was nursing this particular boy. He started liking this nurse very much. And he started liking this nurse so much that when he was discharged from the hospital, he again broke his leg. Just to make sure that again he will have darshan of this nurse. So if a mundane relationship, in this also, if a boy is looking for vipada, calamity, why? So that I can have your darshan. Whose darshan? What to speak of Kunti Maharani when she is saying that, my dear Krishna, if calamity gives, she is not a devotee of calamity. She is not like Dukhadasi. She is not a servant of Dukha. She is servant of Krishna. If Dukha gives your darshan, that is what I aspire. I am after your darshan, your mercy. So therefore, this is the pure prayer which one should be offering. We have some laws behind prayers now. What are the laws which follow behind the prayerful mood of a devotee? The first is law of gravitation. So you all know what is law of gravitation. Anything you throw up will be pulled down by the law of gravitation. So when a devotee comes in front of the Lord, he should gravitate. That the more humble, the more lowly he presents in front of the Lord, he is following the law of gravitation. Because of following the law of gravitation, then he will be put in the law of levitation. What is the law of levitation? You know levitation? That you fly. Like yogis, they can levitate. So when in our prayers we express our humility, that humility attracts Krishna and Krishna levitates us then. So the next step, the next law which is followed in prayer is the law of levitation, which then leads to the law of reciprocation. Then you start reciprocating with the Lord. Now see, in this mundane world, when people, they have their icons or their role models and their, you know, whatever heroes they worship, what is the reciprocation which they get from them? Like, you know, I was talking about this in one of the Sunday feast class recently, that there was a devotee who was telling me that before coming to Krishna consciousness, he was, you know, very much mad after this cricket. I think today something is happening. So, first of all, thanks a lot. Such a great sacrifice you have made over here. So, he was, you know, mad after this cricket. And there was one match, you know, some India-Pakistan at Wankhede Stadium. And he really wanted to see it live. And so much endeavor and effort and energy and time he was employing in that, somehow to get into that stadium. So, you know, black ticket, and he was beaten up by the police, and you know, blood was coming out, and you know, imagine the dedication which he had. And somehow he could slip in after receiving all of that Maha Prasad of, you know, the Havaldars of Bombay. Somehow he slipped in. And he was standing, he couldn't even get a seat. So he had to enter 3 hours before the match. So 3 hours he was standing. And then the match begun. And after that, he was looking at them. And you know, these players, they were playing and everyone was glorifying them. So there was a realization which dawned upon him. He was thinking that I have paid so much money to come in, I got beaten up, and this person for whom I got beaten up, this cricket player, does he even care for me? Does he even know that all this suffering I have undergone for him? He will get all the prize money. Will he at least pay for the ticket for which, you know, I have been standing 6 hours for you? And then when he came to Krishna consciousness, he read in the Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami that anyone who simply observes the aarti of the Lord, come to the temple and simply sees, becomes like a spectator, like he was a spectator. So if he simply becomes a spectator for the aarti of the Lord, crores and crores of sinful reactions of crores and crores of his lifetimes are washed away. Just by observing. This is the reciprocation of the Lord. When we are talking about reciprocation. Another very close friend of mine, he is now a very nice brahmachari preacher in Bombay. He was telling that he was mad after one cricket star. And you know, when he was in college, his room was dedicated to his worship. The different leelas of this cricket player all over in his. And one day, that was like, you know, the dream come true. He got down from the building and he saw, lo and behold, my hero, my cricket star, he's there right in front of me in person. So he was like, kya karu, kya na karu, what, you know, like, as if the Supreme Lord has come from the Vaikuntha planet. So he just rushed and, you know, autograph and talked to him first or take the autograph. And this person was least bothered. This cricket star was least bothered about, you know, this devotee. Because that time he was not a devotee. He was his devotee. He was least bothered. So he then, you know, he wanted some seva, you know, I can do some seva unto you. So he said, I'm looking for a taxi. Taxi, I'll get a taxi. So he just ran, you know, amongst all that, the traffic of Bombay, he was running to just get a taxi. He got a taxi, and by the time he came, he saw that this fan, this hero of his, you know, he sat in another taxi, he didn't even look back, and he left. That was the time when he thought, to hell with this person. What is the use of worshipping these so-called heroes of this world when they don't even know that you exist on this planet? And why not worship a Lord like Krishna, who is there right in your heart and who reciprocates even if you don't want to reciprocate. He's there always at your, you know, disposal to help you out. So that is called the law of reciprocation, which leads to the law of unification. Then that devotee gets truly united with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, and ultimately, because of the purity, because of the dedication and commitment of the devotee unto his master, the final law is the law of subjugation, that the Lord himself becomes subjugated. As Krishna tells in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Bhakta Paradhina, that I become the devotee of my devotee. I become subservient to my own devotee. So that is the power of bhakti, that is the power of prayer, that is the power of pure prayer, that we pass through all these laws and finally that bhakti subjugates even the Bhagavan. The bhakta can subjugate even Bhagavan because of the bhakti and purity. We have some family laws. Herein is a famous statement. In the Christian tradition, they say a family that prays together stays together. So we have some more additions to that. A family that sings together clings together. A family that dines together shines together. A family that dances together advances together. Of course, this is all in connection with God, not in some discotheque and all that. And finally, a family that preaches together reaches spiritual world together. So it begins with a family that prays together, stays together. Not a family which comes together to watch TV. Not that kind of a family we are talking about. In connection with the Supreme Lord. A beautiful story at this point. There was a man who went to the Supreme Lord and was praying fervently that, you know, I am so much distressed, troubled, I want this, I want that, please relieve me of all these troubles and miseries. And, you know, after his fervent prayers, the Supreme Lord appeared, and the Supreme Lord showed him a big rock and told to this person, well, my instruction and my order to you, push this rock. Go and push this rock. Now, the Lord has appeared and the Lord has ordered him to do that. So he thought that, yes, definitely, there would be something beneath the rock. You know, some khajana, you know, some mystical, magical thing beneath the rock. So he started to push the rock. So, 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, 4 weeks passed. He couldn't even move. He couldn't even budge that rock. Not even a millimeter he could bunch it. He was pushing, 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 trying to move this rock. After 6 months, he again went to the Lord. Are you making a fool of me? What are you up to? Again the Supreme Lord appeared. And the Supreme Lord, he said, so, what happened? And nothing happened, it didn't even move a single inch. The Lord said, what did I ask you? I didn't ask you to move the rock. I asked you to just push. And don't say nothing has happened, just look at you. Your arms have become so strong. Your chest has broadened. Your figure has become so stout and sturdy. That is what I want to teach you. Don't try to look for results. Don't think that I will solve the problems of your life. I will give you enough strength. So by pushing, pushing, pushing for 6 months, what has happened? The rock has not moved, but you have become strong. So you have become strong, and that is what is the benediction of the Lord. Therefore it is said, man sees the result, God sees the effort. Man sees the lips, God sees the heart. So therefore, when the Supreme Lord told him that you simply push. So what does that push means? It's an acronym. P stands for pray until something happens. So that was the secret message of the Lord behind asking him to push. So what do we have to do in our life also? Push. Push. Push means pray until something happens. You see, in this material world, people do so many things and nothing happens. They keep pushing, 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 puffing, panting, sweating, exhausted, totally, and still they find nothing happens. Like one of our sannyasis, he said very nicely that the story of a materialist in this material world is like he's playing a game which he will never win. He's playing a game which he will never win, but the sad part is that he cannot give up playing also. Imagine, you cannot give up playing and you know that you are never going to win this game. This is what is endeavor in this material world. So we are talking about making the Supreme Lord as our prayerful object. And in this material world, people, they make these so-called heroes as their role models and their prayerful objects. It's an irony. Just look at, focus on this statement, that we remember those people in this material world who never remember us. And we forget the Supreme Lord who never forgets us. This is the irony of a conditioned living entity. That he keeps remembering those people who never remember him. And he keeps forgetting that Lord who never forgets him. So therefore, pray until something happens. And at the end, I would like to conclude with spiritual economics. Now, one of the laws in economics is, in a country when the economy has to really shoot up, purchasing power, is it not? How much is the purchasing power? Like, I think recently Greece lost its purchasing power. So the economy was just falling apart. Now when we talk about spiritual economics, bhakti unto Krishna is such that a devotee, he starts getting the purchasing power to purchase the Lord. Now who can purchase the Lord? Who can purchase the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Okay, we'll give one example. This is from the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Same Krishna who appeared in this Kali Yuga is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there was one devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sridhar Kolavech. And in Bengal, Nadia district, this Sridhar, he was so insignificant that people didn't even know that he existed. He was so poor. What was his business? He was selling banana leaves. That was his business, you know. He would sell banana leaves. Now, a place like Nadia in West Bengal, where everywhere there were banana trees. So it was something which was easily available for everyone. You know, if you sell something which is not easily available, at least you will make some business. Like, imagine if somebody is selling water. Where? In Rajasthan and in some desert, if he's selling, then yes, there'll be a lot of value. But if he's selling some water, you know, where like here in Nasik, we have how many 18 dams already? So much water is there. So he was selling banana leaves having a business of banana leaves in a place where already there were abundant banana trees and coconut trees. So hardly was making any business. And here is the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming every day and you know bargaining with Sridhar for 2 hours every day. Now when you are talking about purchasing power, just see what purchasing power Sridhar Kolavech had. Is pure devotion. Now you see, in this material world, you know, if a fitter in some company or a turner in some company, how much is paid for an hour? You know, how much is it worth for an hour? 100 rupees for an hour. A manager, you know, he is worth for 1 hour, say 1000 rupees or 20,000 rupees, whatever. Then you have someone like say Bill Gates. If you want to take 1 hour of Bill Gates, it's very costly. In fact, about Bill Gates, it is said that you all know Bill Gates. Huh? You all know, no? Like, you know, he is considered to be, at one point of time, he was the richest, the Microsoft, you know, tycoon. So about Bill Gates, it is said that Bill Gates, if he is walking, this is also unusual, he is walking. If in case you see him walking, and from his wallet, if $100 bill falls, from the wallet of Bill Gates, if $100 bill falls, $100 currency note falls, and if he waits to pick it up, he will lose more than $10,000. Now imagine if somebody has to take half an hour of Bill Gates, how much will it cost? So the more the person goes higher, his value increases. So if a person like Bill Gates or say Barack Obama, if you want to take 1 minute of that person, how much will it cost? Imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what is Supreme Personality of God? Who, which this Bill Gates can compare to the Supreme Personality of God? Even if this Bill Gates pays all the gate bills, he cannot enter to the Vaikuntha planets. So, this Supreme Personality of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who comes once in a day of Brahma. Now look at the rarity of this incarnation. He comes once in a day of Brahma, and that too his leelas are only for 48 years. So how much 1 minute of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is important now? Chanakya Pandit says, one moment lost is the greatest loss. Nothing is more valuable than time. So forget about now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. He comes once in a day of Brahma, that too he has come only for 48 hours, and every day, sorry, not 48 hours, 48 years. And every day this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spending 2 hours with Sridhar Kolavech. That was the purchasing power of Sridhar Kolavech. That he had purchased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what was his prayer? In the Mahaprakash Leela, Sridhar Kolavech is praying unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I only have one prayer, that you keep coming and keep bargaining with me. The same Nimai Pandit, you keep coming like that and keep bargaining with me with the prices of the banana leaves. That was the prayer. So, the purchasing power of our devotee is pure love, with which he can purchase the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only that, we can go one step ahead in the same Chaitanya Leela. Prahlad Maharaj, whose prayers we are talking about, appeared as Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta, he was such a devotee that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he announced to everyone that this Vasudev Datta, he can sell me to anyone. Here we are talking about now selling power. We were talking about purchasing power, that Sridhar Kolavich had the purchasing power to purchase Krishna, and Vasudev Dutt, same Prahlad Maharaj coming as Vasudev Dutt, had the selling power that he could sell Krishna to anyone. This is called the epitome of purity in one's bhakti, that he can not only purchase the Lord, he can sell the Lord. And we have Srila Prabhupada, who had that purity, that he could sell his Bhagavad Gita editions, and he was selling Krishna on the streets. On the streets, Krishna was being sold. Why? Because Prabhupada had this desire that Krishna should be distributed to practically everyone and anyone. So pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada has not only the purchasing power but also the selling power. At the end, I would like to just quote from one of the Sri Sampradaya Acharyas. It's mentioned by this one Acharya that you know, in many of the traditional Vishnu temples you will find that Lord Vishnu, he is accompanied by Bhudevi and Shri Devi, you know, on each side. So this Acharya mentions that, you know, when a sinner, absolute outright sinner, comes in front of Vishnu, and Vishnu doesn't even want to look at his face, he's so sinful, he's, you know, he has disregarded me in so many lifetimes. So what Vishnu does, he looks at Shri Devi. That I don't even want to look at, you know, this person. So then Shri Devi, she tells to Vishnu that at least he has come now in front of you. So please don't neglect. He has come to you at least now. He might have been the greatest sinner, but now at least he has come in front of you. So Vishnu, what are you talking about? So he then looks at Bhudevi. So Bhudevi, she says, I have a different opinion from Shri Devi. And Vishnu says, oh, at least you are with me. So Bhudevi tells to Vishnu that he might have been a sinner, but my dear Lord, you are residing in his heart. The very fact that you are residing in his heart proves that he is eligible for your mercy. And therefore, in my opinion, he should be given your mercy. So when Vishnu looks at Shri Devi on his right side and Bhudevi on his left side, and both of them, they are recommending the sinner, Vishnu, he just opens his palm and he says, I give all my mercy, because they are all in your party. So what is our hope? Our hope is we cannot directly approach the Supreme Lord. We have approached the Supreme Lord through the devotees of the Supreme Lord, like Srimati Radharani. And when we pray unto Srimati Radharani, then Srimati Radharani and the associates of Srimati Radharani, they recommend us unto the Supreme Lord. And then that prayer will be accepted by the Supreme Lord. Definitely, it is for sure that we may be in any condition of our life, the Supreme Lord cannot reject if the energy is like Shri Devi, Bhudevi or Srimati Radharani, the Alladini Shakti of the Lord, when they give their recommendation of ours unto the Supreme Lord. And that is the power of just coming in front of the Lord and praying. Remember the story of ABCD, that child, even if we may not know how to eloquently pray, but even if we fumble, mumble something in front of the Lord, but with pure heart, with gratitude, with the mood of begging forgiveness, glorifying the Lord, asking for that pure benediction like Prahlad Maharaj, we are sure to be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.